Donc, so I can do the introduction. So today we have the pleasure to hear from Pierre Boldrini. He did his thesis in at IAP in Paris and is now a postdoc at INRIA Nancy Grantès, working on cosmological simulation and dynamics. So please, Pierre, when you want.
Thanks, Mathilde, and thanks everyone for giving me the opportunity to so to present my recent work about this alternative theory of gravity. So yes, please feel free to interrupt me during the talk if you have question. So yeah, so the idea of this work is to test Monge-Ampère equation. So I will talk most about this today. So to test Monge-Ampère equation instead of the famous Poisson equation in a cosmological context. Okay, so first I would like to stress that this is an interdisciplinary project with people from math, computer science, and astrophysics. Okay, so now we have several observational programs such as Gaia, GeodesT, Euclid to constrain the properties of dark matter. So this mission will first verify the Landsat model, so which is our current cosmological model, or require maybe a substantial revision of our understanding of the nature of dark matter. So therefore, we must, in particular, propose alternative dark matter theories that can be tested with the surveys, but also maybe alternative gravity theory, such as Monge-Ampère gravity. There is many other. And for dark matter, you know, maybe there are warm, fuzzy, self-interacting dark matter, but also now primordial black hole, which correspond to considering like a fraction of the dark matter that could be composed of black holes. Okay, so my research focuses on studying the dynamic of dark matter at various scales, so from black hole to globular cluster to galaxy, and now more recently at large scales. To do that, I use computational methods such as simulation, orbital integration, and more recently, optimal transport algorithm to study the dark matter dynamics. Okay. And today I will focus on this part of my research, which is the cosmological part. Okay, so let's start. So if you want to describe the movement of particles under gravity, you should write the second Newton law. Okay. And the gravitational force can be written as the gradient of a potential. Okay. And your gravitational potential is described by the well-known Poisson equation. So now what we suggest today is to replace this equation by a more complex and also a non-linear equation called Monge-Ampère equation. So if you analyze a bit this equation, so it's a determinant applied to two terms. So the first term is the identity matrix, and the second term is the constant times the Hessian matrix applied to your gravitational potential. So the Hessian matrix, it's only a second derivative with respect to the coordinate. Okay, so this is the Monge-Ampère equation. One important thing is you can easily see that in one dimension, Monge-Ampère is totally equivalent to Poisson. This is the first thing. Okay, so now let's compare the force, the gravitational force, that we can derive for a discrete set of n particles, because the idea is to run a simulation for this alternative theory of gravity. So for Poisson, if you consider Poisson equation, you will get the classical gravitational force, which scales as 1 over the distance square, so this is the distance between particles, so for a discrete set. And now the question is, what does the gravitational force look like in Monge-Ampère gravity, because it's not trivial. So let's derive it. So you need to start with this Monge-Ampère equation, and you have this definition for the gravitational force. Okay, so we use the change of variable. So now we have a new potential psi, which is not the gravitational potential, but is related to the actual gravitational potential, which is phi. Okay. And if I rewrite a bit this equation, I obtain this new equation, okay, a simple form of the Monge-Ampère equation. So this is the classical form of the Monge-Ampère equation in computer science and in math. So they know how to resolve this equation and not this equation. And if I introduce a new potential psi, I need to modify also the gravitational force. So now I have the position minus a gradient of this new potential. Okay, so you can see that to resolve this gravitational force, I need first to resolve this Monge-Ampère equation to get then the gradient of this new potential psi. Okay, so now the question is how we can resolve this sort of equation. It's quite complex, but we know that solving this equation is totally equivalent to resolve the Monge problem. So what is the Monge problem? So the Monge problem is can be defined as what is the most efficient way of transporting one distribution of mass, let's say this one, to another, so another distribution of mass. And if I call xi and qj the two distribution, the idea of this problem is to finding which point xi correspond to each point qj. Okay, by minimizing some cost. This is the actual Monge problem. But in our case, this cost function is just the distance square between your two distributions. Okay, and this will give you the optimal trajectory if you resolve this problem. And you know that optimal trajectories are straight lines in 2D and geodesic in 3D. Okay, you can also notice that this problem is purely combinatorial. But the number of possible arrangements is a factorial of n. So with n, the number of particles. So for a large number, the computational cost can be huge. Okay. So now I will show you that it's indeed equivalent by starting from the Monge problem and then to get the Monge-Ampère equation. So I will do the proof in the continuous case. So now you have x and q. Okay. So let's call f the application which gives you the q from the x. And if you just write the mass conservation between the two distributions, you get this expression. And with a new change of variable q to x, you can rewrite the infinitesimal volume of q. And you already see that the determinant appears. This is what you want because in the Monge-Ampère equation, you have this determinant. And also, according to optimal transport theory, which is a mathematical theory, tells you that this application f, which gives you the q from the x, can be written as a gradient of a potential. So this is the solution for the optimized solution for this application. And now if you inject this and this equation in the Mach conservation, you get the Monge-Ampère equation under this form. So indeed, solving Monge-Ampère equation is equivalent to solve the Monge problem. So, as I said, it's purely combinatorial. So we can establish that this application F is simply equals to Q sigma opt applied to index I in the discrete case, of course. And the sigma opt is it's written here is the optimal permutation. So it is the right order of indices that minimize the cost because optimal means minimizing the cost. Which is the distance, so the distance square in our case. Okay, and as we know F, because it's also equal to the gradient of some potential, we get this new equation. And it was exactly, if you remember, the term which was missing in the Monge-Ampère gravitational force that I showed you previously. So let's come back to this now. So if you remember, we have this x minus the gradient of this new potential. And now we know that it's exactly in the discrete case, of course. It's exactly the position minus this q sigma opt applied to index I. Okay, so now we have the form of the force, which is very different from what we have in the Poisson case. And let me call this term GI for the rest of the talk. Okay, so now we have a better description of what Monge-Ampère equation and gravity consist of. Okay, and I would like to list the main motivation to replace Poisson by Monge-Ampère. So first, we have challenges in the current lambda CTM paradigm. The increasing precision of observation has with some tension, you know, in particular about the value sigma h, which characterizes the amplitude of matter fluctuation. And you know that this sigma h was estimate of from observation of large-scale structures such as weak lensing. And this estimation was significantly smaller than the one inferred from the Planck CMB power spectrum, as you can see on this plot. Okay, but maybe others have argued that the tension can be alleviated if you invoke neutrinos, decaying dark matter, also maybe a drag force between dark matter and dark energy. Okay, but what is curious is that for the two last solution, this tension was interpreted as an indication of a weaker gravity at low redshift in order to decrease this clustering amplitude. So keep this in mind. And you have also, at small scales, you have also challenges, for instance, the Kerr-Skaar problem. So it concerns maybe, the shape of dark matter halos. And in blue, observation predicts that the central region of dark matter halos should be less dense than what predict theory. So in the lambda CDM theory, so this is in dot line, black dot line. So maybe a new form of gravity can resolve this also. Secondly, so again for the motivation, if you come back to the Monge-Ampère equation, this equation is a non-linear modification of the Poisson equation. Because if you look, let's say at large distance, so far from the gravitational source, your potential is very small. So in this case, you can expand the determinant around the identity. And you can see that if you retain only the linear parts in your expansion, you get exactly the Poisson equation. So you can see that Poisson equation is a bit like an approximation of the Monge-Ampère equation. So it's not so far from Poisson. Also, Monge-Ampère is predicted by statistical physics. So in mass, people demonstrate that if you apply what they call the large deviation principle, which is a statistical principle, to particles moving as independent Brownian motion, you get this short sort of equation of motion. And if you remember, it's exactly the Monge-Ampère gravitational force. Okay. Also, now let's look at the expression of the gravitational forces more carefully. As you know, the classical gravitational force diverges as it scales as 1 over r squared, so the distance square here. And numerically, it's a challenge to deal with this behavior. And in contrast, in Monge-Ampère gravity, the force is non-divergent, so finite, so you don't have this issue. Also, another major advantage of this alternative theory is the absence of free physical parameter. I mean by free physical parameter, let's say if you consider alternative dark matter theories such as FuSi or self-interacting, you need to specify the mass of dark matter or also the cross-section in the theory. So you have free physical parameter, but in this theory, no, it's work or it's not, it doesn't, it work or it doesn't work. And finally, it seems that this theory can better capture the anisotropic collapse. So if you look at the Hessian matrix, because Poisson equation is only the trace of the Hessian matrix, so it means that you take only into account the diagonal term of the Hessian matrix, which correspond to your tie-dye field. And so you take only into account the diagonal term, but for Monge-Ampère, you have another Hessian matrix with the one here in the diagonal to find again the Poisson equation. But you took also into account the non-diagonal term because you take the determinant of this matrix. So this term will help to take into account the anisotropic collapse instead of Poisson. So this is the idea. Okay, so now to explore the impact of Monge-Ampère in cosmology. So we developed the first cosmological simulation with this alternative form of gravity and run it for a cosmological box. So now I will give you details about the simulation, the code, the numerical strategy, and finally the result. So the code is written in Python, but called C library, and it will be public soon, I hope. So concerning our initial condition, so we evolved dark matter within a periodic box of 300 megaparsec. On a side containing 512 cube particles. And as the famous cosmological simulation TNG 300, so this large volume, we choose this large volume because it enables us to study the clustering of dark matter at various scales, so from filament to galaxy scale. So here on the right, you have our adopted cosmological parameter, and we evolve the box from redshift 49 to redshift 0. And the resolution of our simulation is the following. So we have 10 power 10 solar masses, which is like a dwarf. So one point is like a dwarf galaxy. Okay. So now, in order to isolate the net dynamical impact of Mongeampere gravity, we compare our Mongeampere simulation with standard cosmological simulation. So we use the N-body code gadget, which is the famous one for this dark matter-only simulation. And in this code, the gravitational force in co-moving coordinates is this expression. And you see that you need to introduce a softening lens here to remove any divergence in the force, because numerically it's quite hard to deal with this. And in our Mongeampere code, we don't have this numerical parameter as the force is finite. And in classical N-body simulation, they use tree code to calculate the force because they need to sum all the force on one particle. It could be quite long. This is why the complexity is n log n. And in our case, if you remember, so the computational complexity is a factorial of n, because we need to resolve this combinatorial problem that I showed you previously. But in practice, you know, it's not feasible. That is the reason why we use very efficient algorithms, such as optimal transfer algorithm, so which allow us to calculate this GI very rapidly, very accurately. So in the end, we also have n log n, but we didn't try to optimize the code for the moment. Okay, so now let's look at the results. So here I have computed the dark matter density map at redshift zero. So for Poisson on the left and Mongeampere on the right. So which show you the dark matter distribution in our box. So you observe that in Mongeampere simulation, dark matter seems to be more diffuse. There is more dark matter in filaments than in nodes. And you can easily see by eyes where are the halo in Poisson, but in Mongeampere it's quite hard. It seems that there are less halos formed in the simulation. Okay, and for us, it's a clear sign of a weaker gravitational clustering in Mongeampere simulation. Now, if we zoom on the region of the box, we clearly see the difference in gravitational clustering, so still Poisson on the left and Mongeampere on the right. And it seems that there are less dark matter halos in Mongeampere compared to Poisson. Again, by eye, it's very easy to identify the halo in Poisson, but in Mongeampere, it seems to be very diffuse, very elongate along the filament, as you can see. So to confirm this, now we have computed the power spectrum for both cosmological simulation at different redshifts, for Mongeampere in dot line and Poisson in solid line, so which describes the density contrast in your simulation. So at small scale, so here, in this region, you can see that at redshift one, so in green, Mongeampere in dot line starts to deviate slightly from Poisson, okay? And in fact, at redshift zero, we have less power in Mongeampere due to this absence of halo formation at small scales, okay? And at large scale, we have differences, but it's less significant. So according to this power spectra, in this theory of gravity, the gravity is getting weaker after redshift one. So this could be promising for the sigma 8 tension, okay? Then you have computing the halo mass function, which gives you basically the number of halo at a given halo mass, okay? And as expected from the power spectrum, we have, let's say at redshift 3, so in orange, we have less dark matter halos at galaxy scale. So here for Mongeampere, it's an empty dot, and Poisson, it's filled dot. So in orange, you can see there are less halos. And now if you look at redshift 0, at all halo mass, we have less halos in Mongeampere compared to Poisson. And more precisely, we found four times less halos at redshift zero in Mongeampere simulation than in Poisson. Okay, so as we have now this weaker clustering of dark matter particles, we show that we have less dark matter halo, and this is the reason why we also expect to have less dense central region for this halo. So we looked at the density profile of big halos, in order to have a sufficient number of particles to get the profile. So you have in red Poisson and in blue Mongeampere. As expected, so Poisson, it's a classical Lambda CDM simulation. You expect to have this NFW form for your Halo. So we retrieve this form, so in red, and the dot line from the NFW form. But in contrast, for Mont-Jean-Pere, it exhibits a core-like profile. So Halo is less dense centrifugal compared to Poisson. So you have like not a shallower profile, not a consistency, but a shallow profile compared to Poisson. And this is very promising because to resolve the cost-core problems that I mentioned before, because in this case, you don't need baryons to affect the shape of your Halo in this theory. Okay. So I showed you that Mont-Jean-Pere gives very different results from Poisson, but now we want to understand what actually happened in this theory of gravity and more precisely why. So at this moment, we have some ideas from answers. So for instance, looking at the Mont-Jean-Pere equation in a very simple case, so let's say in spherical symmetry, or questioning maybe the structure formation scenario. So first, so if you look in spherical symmetry, so this equation will simplify to this new equation in spherical symmetry and also the force like this one. Okay, so this can be resolved analytically, and we investigate the classic case, the punctual mass, and the density is given by this expression for point mass. And we get this form for the gravitational force in Mont-Jean-Pere by integration. And you can notice that in the force, it seems that there is a typical radius, which I call RMA, which appears in the equation. And this radius depends on the mass of the object that creates your gravitational potential, but also on the cosmological parameter. Okay, so now we can extract the two limit cases of this force related to this typical radius. So I distinguish when R is very small or big compared to RMA. So if R is very, very big compared to RMA, you are in the Poisson regime. Mont-Jean-Pere gravitational force acts as Poisson. So you retrieve this 1 over R squared. That you know. And in the other case, so if R is very small compared to RMA, you are in the Mont-Jean-Pere regime. So now, if we plot the norm of the force for Poisson and Mont-Jean-Pere for punctual mass, let's say of 10 power 10 solar masses, which correspond to the mass of our particle in the simulation, the typical radius of this RMA is about 400 kiloparsec, and you retrieve the two regions predicted by the two limit cases, so the 1 over R squared and the Mont-Jean-Pere region, where the force is almost constant, but it's in log. So you see that Mont-Jean-Pere above, no, sorry, below RMA is almost constant as R is very small. So we have a big difference between the amplitude of the force at small scales. And this predicts that the difference between Mont-Jean-Pere and Poisson will appear at galaxy cluster scale, as suggested by our cosmological simulation. I showed you that the presence of core-like dark matter profile in Mont-Jean-Pere simulation. Okay, now let's look at the structure formation scenario. So, you know, there are two main structure formation scenarios, bottom-up and top-down. As you know, Lambda CDM corresponds to bottom-up because merger of both early formed and later formed halos. And so dark matter collapses into halos and from galaxies and cluster and then supercluster, as you can see on this video on the right. And this corresponds to bottom-up. But we have, on the other hand, there is also top-down scenario, which means that sheets collapse into halos and then collapsing into filaments, sorry, and then collapse into halos. And this is, for instance, the case for warm dark matter. If we look at a snapshot of a warm dark matter simulation, you can see that a filament will merge with another filament and then form a halo, which then start accreting matter in the last snapshot. Okay. So now the question is how structure form in a universe under Mont-Jean-Pere gravity. So this is bottom-up or top-down. So if we zoom in the region of our cosmological box, we can see that halo seems to appear after filament and sheet. So this will come back. So here you have Halo, but if we come back in the past, you can see that first you have filament and sheets. So it seems that Mont-Jean-Pierre, so as large-scale structures such as sheets and filament emerge first, it seems that Mont-Jean-Pierre exhibits top-down structure formation scenario. So it is very different from what you have with Poisson. Okay, so to conclude, we have a motivated gravity theory, so alternative gravity theory. We run the first n-body cosmological simulation of Mont-Jean-Pierre gravity by using state-of-the-art algorithm from computer science for optimal transport problem. And it seems that there is a weaker gravitational clustering for dark matter particles. This is why it's a promising alternative theory of gravity, which needs to be investigated more. And concerning future projects, I tend to look at more carefully at the sigma tension by evaluating the constraint from the CMB and weak lensing measurements. So doing Monte Carlo simulation to extract this. And then maybe running smaller cosmological box and maybe doing zoom simulation to investigate properly the Coscore problem, because this problem is at the galaxy and dwarf scale. And also looking at cosmic filaments by extracting the cosmic web with code like Disperse, as now we know that filament can be alternative cosmological probe, especially in the context of the Euclid mission, and also confirming in the end the structure formation scenario if it's really top down and not bottom. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pierre. May I ask or actually do a comment?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for a very clear talk. I have a comment, actually, not a question, and I'd like to have your reaction on this. Besides the very beautiful mathematical structure of the Mont-Jean-Pierre equation and the solution, I'm puzzled by the justification that you proposed. Actually, I think that they are actually usually proposed from a fundamental point of view. If you can go back to the slides in which you listed the justification, thank you. Well, first of all, okay, that's fine. Let's, maybe because perhaps I'm a physicist, first of all, I'm puzzled by the fact that this equation doesn't emerge from a field theory. We are familiar with, well, we pretend that every fundamental theory comes from a Lagrangian or Hamiltonian formulation than from field equations like the Einstein's fields equation, even though they are not the final ones. While this doesn't appear, at least as presented by you, as emerging from a field theory. And all fundamental forces emerges from field theories. So I would need a for more convincing argument about the origin. You actually, point three, you said it's predicted by statistical physics, which I like. Nonetheless, when detailing the point three, you said that a paper by Brignier et al. Showed a combination of a Brownian motion, which is very generic but quite specific indeed. And for instance, a Brownian motion doesn't take into account the inertia of particles. So why celestial bodies have inertia, right? And then which kind of Brownian motion, the generic one with memoryless stochastic forces, or with a more generic two-point correlation for the stochastic forces bringing to memory effect. The was the fact contrary to the Poisson force, it is not divergent. But the Poisson force is just a weak field limit of the Einstein field equations that anyway are divergent. Indeed, they do not account for singular space times, but the dynamics is more complex. So maybe it simply say that well, Poisson force a face into the very strong lean regime, but it's not a sufficient fact to well, I would ask for more delicate treatment of this point. And that's I'm personally I would be more comfortable with the interpretation of the Monge-Ampère gravity as an effective description, geometrical description of gravitational interactions accounting for some kind of coarse graining. And indeed, looking at and concluding, looking at your simulations, into these zooming simulations. The first reaction I had was not looking at the dark matter field to a matter field, but to a gaseous field or to a temperature field or to a entropy. If you look at the simulation, well, the results of a hydrodynamical simulation with the entropy, the pattern looks more similar to the Monge-Ampère than to the first output of an body.
Okay.
And this is my comment, and then I had just a few questions about the CPU time resources that you need to run your simulation, but that's a much
important. Okay. But maybe I can just briefly react to your comments. It is true that, yeah, you can derive the Poisson equation from the general relativity, and for Monge-Ampère, it's quite hard to get this, let's say, this principle. But now we have like a Lagrangian, so we can write a Lagrangian for Monge-Ampère, so it's a good start. But in fact, the approach was not to find a new equation of gravity to say this is the fundamental equation of gravity. Our approach is more phenomenological. We have challenges. We need to find new mechanism that maybe you can insert in actual, in actual theory of gravity, not replace it completely. Because the most interesting part of this theory is 0.6, because actually you take into account something which is not taken into account by Poisson, this anisotropic behavior of your Tadel field. Because if you look at, let's say, Poisson equipotential, let's say you have a distribution, and you look at equipotential of your distribution, you can see that very rapidly Poisson will give you like very circular, let's say in 2D, circular equipotential. So the anisotropy disappears, let's say, at medium scale. But in Monge-Ampère, it conserves let's say these properties at larger scales. And I think that it's very important to see if this effect needs to be taken into account. And this has an impact to the halo formation and stuff like that. So because people are, we can say that Monge-Ampère is like, a better approach to just add like tidal effects to your gravitational theory. So this is my answer for this one. And concerning the statistical physics, so indeed, it's a math paper, so this is derived from a math paper. And the idea of this author was to say, okay, we have a distribution, and just want to put noise, and just this was his Brownian motion. We want to put noise and look at what are the trajectories if you want to combine these two distributions. And so it's a very simple case, because mathematician wants to avoid, as I mentioned, as divergence. They don't like the Poisson equation because you have this divergence in the force. So they like to replace this Laplacian by determinant. So this is the mathematical approach in theory. And for the maps that you mentioned, so for the moment, you have only dark matter simulation. This could be great to ice the hydrodynamics. And it's not so surprising what you said about the gas and also the entropy, because people in weather science are actually using the Monge-Ampère equation instead of the Poisson equation to better take into account what they call the front, because Poisson give you like a granular behavior, and in space and in weather science you get like elongate shape. And Monge-Ampère give exactly this geometrical. So I expect that the gas and simulation should be the same. That's why it looks, I think, more similar to Monge-Ampère than in Poisson. So yeah, I would like to, this is a major step, but I would like to at some point put hydrodynamics in the Monge-Ampère equation. So in the Monge-Ampère simulation. So yeah.
Thank you. What about the timing of our simulations?
As I said, the complexity is quite the same, but I think for the moment it's 10 times slower. It's 5 times slower than the classical n-body simulation. But on a cluster, it's very fine because if you have a large number of CPU, it's okay.
For
So,
which kind of box and mass resolution?
for the box that I present, so 512. So for I think for Gadget, it takes like maybe 2 3 days, and for us, it takes like a week. So, but there are many stuff to do because as we are not calculating summing all the force for each particle, we are just constructing like a diagram for all the simulation. It's very fast. So with code on GPU and stuff like that, we can accelerate a lot the code. So this is also the next step. But for the moment, it's sufficient just to investigate this box like that. We don't need to do like an Illustrious simulation because it's not the idea. We don't want to replace LandSCDM. We just want to explore alternative and understand what about the dynamic and what we can gain from this sort of alternative gravity. So, yeah. And also, what new algorithm we could use for LandSCDM and optimal transport is a new algorithm that we could replace maybe the tree code in the end. Because I didn't mention this, but in fact, Mongeampere is an optimal transport problem. This is why it was very easy to apply this algorithm to this equation. So because it's algorithms were written a long time ago by people in computer science and in math. So it's why it was very easy to apply this in astrophysics. So, but for Poisson, it's a bit a challenge. So yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Hi, thank you, Pierre, for a very nice talk, very clear. So I have one question and one maybe question for a little bit of clarification. So if you could go back to the same slide that Carlo asked you, yeah, this one. So the point six, like capturing anisotropic collapse. So I understand that it appears through determinant in the expression. However, I'm still scratching my head around, like in Poisson, pure Poisson case, the anisotropic collapse is sort of included because we know that on large scales, the net cumulative impact of the gravity is encoded in tides, right? So you have, so I don't understand what, I guess I don't understand what you wanted to say, apart from the fact that, in Mongeampere, you have this determinant in plus that takes into account also cross terms, but anisotropic collapse is included in standard gravity, if you wish. Could you comment on that? Did I misunderstand something or?
Sure. I think if you think with cosmological simulation, it's quite hard to understand this because you have too many effects. And so, as you said, you have tides, and tides can form with Poisson. But the idea, as I said to Carlo, if you just consider, like, let's say, a distribution elongating in the, you have 2D distribution, and this distribution is elongating in the, let's say, in the X-axis, okay? You have like a pancake, okay? And if you look at equipotential, so if you trace like contour of your potential around this distribution, if with Poisson, very rapidly you will get circle, okay? Because at large scales, the anisotropic distribution, the effect of this will disappear, okay? Because Poisson because you only have these two terms, it will disappear. But in Mongeampere, if you have these extra terms, it's non-negative term, it will preserve among large distance this anisotropic. So I'm not saying that Poisson did not capture the anisotropic case, but Mongeampere is more precise than Poisson. So the question is, do we need to have this precision and also the effect of anisotropy at larger scales than Poisson? So, and this is why you see in the simulations that we form less halos because the gravity is getting weaker because we take into account this gravitational attraction at large scale. So the idea is that particles can feel the anisotropic in some directions, so filament can be preserved longer time and do not merge very rapidly as in Poisson and be fragmented into halos, and then so it delay in a sense, so the anisotropic effect, let's say, delay the formation of halo in the simulation. That's what we think. So the question is, do we need this effect? So this should be measured by many stuff. So this one now we have Euclid, or maybe we can measure some properties of halos and then compare to what we will get from Euclid and see if it's important or not. So yeah, because it will affect the connectivity, things like that. So. Yeah.
Okay. And so now if I can, so thank you. Now the question, so because you were mentioning several tensions, but at the beginning you also mentions James Webb Space Telescope. So I was wondering, because I think you showed some of the halo mass functions,
yeah.
But only at relatively low redshift. So did you check at high redshift? So I'm pointing toward the tension that is preparing in our field.
Yeah.
At under prediction of the number counts of galaxies at high redshifts. So obviously you have halos here. Okay, you stop at 3. Did you check, like, let's say at redshift 10 or 11, whether there is
not in detail, but I know that it seems that you have more power at higher redshifts than in Poisson. Not a lot, mm-hmm. but you have more power. And it seems also I found easily, so my box is maybe too small for this, but I can form a higher mass halo more easily than Poisson.
Okay.
So yeah. But so for the James Webb,
mm-hmm.
yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for the James Webb, I was more thinking about the morphology that we can have at high redshift. So because it's at this time where we can see the Mongeau-Pere effect, not at redshift zero.
But I think it would be interesting to also look at, once you will have simulations with galaxies inside, to have a look at the stellar mass functions and to see the number counts. So, okay, thank you.
More question online? And here? No. So thank you again, Pierre, for your presentation.
Thank you.
Merci, Pierre.
Thank you.
I take the opportunity to advertise another cafe club, Nextra Cafe Club, this week on Friday afternoon, 2 p.m., if you agree. The speaker is a visitor at LAMP, so it will be in presence. Catherine Cerny, talking about the working on weak lensing, probing the inner density profile of galaxy clusters with strong lensing and MUSE spectroscopy. That's the topic. So that's it. Thank you again, and see you on Friday.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.